We are in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the last time God spoke before the New Testament, and it was like 400 years, and God was telling his people, if you remember him, he started off in chapter 1, just telling all his people how much he loved them, and how much he cared for them, and the compassion that he had for the people. And you remember that they just kept coming back saying things like, how have you loved us? What have you been doing for us lately? And we can be so selfish and self-centered and ungrateful at times, can't we? Let's be honest. We focus on the negative more than the positive, right? And God's been doing all this, all these, and they were just kind of putting them off, and they were being lazy with stuff. They were giving God blemished sacrifices, which was causing people to stumble and not giving a good picture of Jesus Christ. It was just a real terrible stuff. And so God was rebuking with them. They were saying that God's commands were a burden. It got to the point where he even said, man, why don't you even just shut the doors of church if this is how you're going to act? If you're going to be indifferent to me, if it's not going to really matter what you do or say, just shut the doors. It is, stop with all this false religious stuff. In a way, Mark brought this up one time, but I love this. In a way, he's like, we don't need to be playing church. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if all you do is come here on Sundays or go to a Bible study and you're, hey, praise God, hallelujah, and then you do and say whatever you want when you're with your friends or when you're online or when you're at work, you have missed the whole point of following Jesus Christ. He wants an intimate relationship. He has called you, and we'll talk about that in a second again, to be kingdom makers and priests, you know, and shepherds and shepherdess. It's almost like these beautiful candles that were set up here on this beautiful mantle to make it look more homey, because we're at Home Fellowship Church, okay? And obviously, because it's wood, we've got shiplap in the back, we don't want to have real candles, but they look very real, right? Don't they? They look like beautiful candles. And they look like, but I could put my finger right here, and you know what? Nothing happens. It's moving. There's lots of movement. Lots of things happening. Looks really beautiful, but you know what there's not happening here? There's no heat. There's no fire. There's no desire, right? And God's saying, man, I'd rather you be hot or cold and not lukewarm. God wants us to be on fire for him. Or, you know, be cold so that I can break that heart of yours and warm it back up again. But none of this lukewarm stuff. And it's, we talked in the first few verses, I'll just read it. He talked in verse 1, he says, and now he's talking, and now this admonition is for you. And we talked about this. This message isn't for them only, it's for you. It is for you because you are a royal generation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You, every one of you who have called upon the name of the Lord, God has called you to be a priest, to be, if you will, to be his representatives here on earth, that you're a special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. God has called you to a mission. Your main mission isn't your job or even, dare I say it, your husband, wife, family, school. Your main mission is Jesus in all those things. Does that make sense? That's your main job. That's what you have to get, and I have to get in the forefront of my mind and in my heart. In everything, God is to be glorified in my life. Amen? It says in verse 1, and now this is the admonition, the warning for you priests. If you do not listen and if you do not set your hearts to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I'll send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not set your hearts not set your heart to honor me. And listen, folks, we talked about if-thens in the Bible. Listen, God is saying, if you'll do this, I'm going to bless you. And there's lots of that. There's the promises of God. We talked about them. There's an action. We have to respond, and then there's a reward. But there's an action that we have to take care of. And he's saying, listen, I want you to listen. And we talked last week, you know, that we need to go here to God's church, to his word, to listen to what he has to say. Not to listen what Pastor Darren has to say, but to listen to what God has to say. He has a word for you, a revelation to give you. He wants to impart something in your heart and mind. Listen, if you're just going to church, not guarding your steps when you're going near the house of God, you're thinking about everything else, which is what the enemy wants you to do. It's like you're coming in. He says, go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice to fools. Jesus would always say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. That means there's going to be some folks here that pay attention and I want to hear what God has to say, and some folks that don't. I don't know about you, but I want to hear. I want to know what he has to say for me. Because he chose me. He called me. I just like Rebecca was saying, that blows me away. And he says, even pay close attention to what you hear. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? So, you know what? You want to hear something funny? Somebody saw this slide. I said, what's that thing hanging to the left, to the right? I said, what's that thing? I forget, that's a corded phone, okay? I just assumed everybody would know, but in an age of cell phones, that was a corded phone. Sorry, I didn't even think about that. But he says, look, be careful how you listen, because the closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given, and you'll receive even more. So listen, if you're coming here wanting to hear the voice of the Lord, and you're listening, and you're understanding, and it means obeying, Shema in Hebrew, then God is going to give you more. You're going to receive more. That's an awesome thing. And he also says in Luke 18, he said, be also not just what you hear, but how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But this is important. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Listen, the priests thought the sacrifices, the things God's told them, his word and stuff, wasn't that precious. It wasn't that big of a deal whether they obeyed it fully or not. I mean, really, we don't want to be all legalistic. God says, man, if those who aren't listening, even what you think you have is going to be taken. Listen, I don't want that. I want all of what God has. And he says there's blessings and curses. You remember that in Deuteronomy. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, so that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, set in stone. Like a cement thing. But the people honored them with their lips, but their hearts were far from them. I don't want that. We talked about the power of leaven, and we talked about this was super important. It was about 15, 20 minutes of this in last week's teaching that the Lord gave me at the last second, and it was definitely of him. We talked about the leaven from heaven and how that can knead into other people's lives goodness and joy and love and kindness. And then we talked about the beastie yeasty and the leaven of the world, how that can spread. And we talked about affecting others. Are you affecting them? In other words, is being around you producing good fruit, good things, godly things, loving things, kind things, true things? Are you moving folks towards him, towards his word, towards his thinking? Because our attitudes are contagious. Either a good godly attitude or a gossipy, slandery, poopy attitude is also contagious, right? Complaining, grumbling. So you're either affecting others or you're infecting others around you. And you remember what the Bible says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So remember that. Are you affecting people for Jesus Christ or are you infecting them? Actually, it was not. Yeah, I had it from a teaching about many years ago, actually, I found. Yeah, that was good though, wasn't it? Yeah. So, okay. So, all right. So we talked about the last verse here in verse 3, it says, because of you, I will rebuke your descendants, and I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices, and you'll be carried off with it. And if you remember that, I hate to even tell you that. I won't get into that in too much detail. You have to listen to the teaching. But that just means the poop. They were supposed to take the flesh of the animal that they were supposed to sacrifice, like the lamb, the flesh of the lamb, and the junk, the poop, out. Outside the temple, outside, if you will, the camp, and burn it out there as a sin offering, as a picture of sin. And he's like, I'm going to rub your noses in it. You are not going to honor me, honor my sacrifices, honor my word. Then, okay, here you go. So that's not good. All right, in verse 4, this is where we start. In verse 4, it says, and you will know I have sent you this admonition so that the covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. And again, verse 4, he's not just speaking to the priests. Since we're a kingdom of priests unto the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, he's speaking to you and me. So he's saying, and you will know that I've sent you this admonition. Remember that word from last week? That word admonition is mitzvah. And that means an authoritative warning or an authoritative command. I'm sending you this warning. And here's God's heart. He's like, so that my covenant with Levi will continue. And listen, these priests weren't taking their duty seriously. And they were becoming stumbling blocks for people. And how I see that, I want you to contrast. And he's saying, I'm going to take that sacrifice, and you're going to rub your noses at it. You guys are in trouble. And listen, contrast that, okay? They're causing those around them to stumble. Contrast this. As we're to be called priests, Proverbs 20, verse 7 said, somebody online had shared this with me, texted this to me, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. So in this one, in these verses, man, God's like saying, man, okay, you want to ignore Jesus? What's going to happen is, I'm taking away the blessings. You and even your descendants are going to be cursed. Listen, when you sin, it affects others. It affects others around you. It affects your husband, your wife, your kids, your friends, your coworkers. It does. So God is saying, listen, if you're going to be needing the leaven from heaven, you're going to be blessed. And their children who follow them, the people around you, they're going to be blessed just to be around you. They're going to draw closer to the Lord. Or you've got that beastie yeasty, right? Where you're going to be cursed and you're leaving sin. You're leaving stumbling blocks around for people. And God doesn't want that. And he's saying, I'm doing this so that my promise can continue. I absolutely love when we talk about the love of God. It is so amazing. It is unfathomable, okay? It moves everything out of the way when we talk about the love of God, okay? This was a verse that I heard for many, many years, and I love it. However, and I'll tell you this in a minute, it says in the Bible that the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, sounds wonderful, doesn't it? In a lot of churches, this is all that we teach. He's slow to anger, wonderful, abounding in love. I just picture a little lamb like, choo, you know, jumping over a fence or something, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness and sin. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Wow. And in most churches, that's what we preach. God loves us, and so we can just kind of do however we... But they forget there's another part of this verse. It says, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Your God is a loving God, but he is also a holy God, and he's a just God. Does that make sense? There's both aspects of that to him. And listen, the more you know to much who's been given, much will be required. You guys have been given a lot. I've been given a lot. I'm so grateful. And he wants you to put it into action. In your words, in your thinking, in your life, in your service. However, do you know what I'm saying? I remember even these priests, or even us. I know we don't like to talk about that, and it's not popular. But there is a heaven and a hell. The guilty won't go unpunished. You want to refuse Jesus Christ? That's your choice. He loves you enough to not force you to do something. You want to reject him and his ways? You can do that. and you will be in a place for eternity when you die that is apart from him. That's your choice. And that's a place called hell. Okay? Now, for those of us who have given our lives to Jesus Christ, it says this. Proverbs 31, 1 and 2. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Listen, in verse 4, if you read it with me, it says in verse 4 of chapter 2, it says this, and you will know that I have sent this admonition, this warning, so that my covenant with Levi can continue. I'm wanting to continue to bless you. His whole heart behind this, his motive, is so that you can continue to grow and be blessed. And they could too. His heart isn't like, you bad, bad Christians, you bad, bad priests of the kingdom, I'm going to zip you, zap you. He's like, no, I want to continue that covenant. A covenant just means, in Hebrew, it's a conditional promise, like we were talking about earlier. If then. The word in Hebrew is berith, and it means like a conditional promise, a contract. He's like, I want that to continue. I want to be able to bless you, but I can't do that if you continue to do wrong and choose it. I can't do it. He's a holy God. He's a good God. He's a just God. He would be a bad dad if he never disciplined his kids. Wouldn't he? I remember I gave this particular verse. There's someone who listens online. She ministers at another church, a wonderful godly woman. I remember that she went to a church where they just talked about God's love. And I remember one time I mentioned, you know, God disciplines those he loves. And that was so very foreign to their thinking at the time. They were actually, now we're very close friends. This is many, many years ago. It was like, you know, a decade or two ago. Now we're very, very close friends. But I remember when she first heard it, she was mad at me and angry. God would never discipline his child. He's chosen king of the kids. He's a king kid. There would never do anything. I'm like, you're not getting the other side of the coin here. And I remember I gave her this verse in her car. I still remember it to this day. She was so mad at me. And I said, you know what it says in Proverbs 3:11? My son, don't despise the Lord's discipline and don't resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Wow. And I just remembered it got all silent. And it was like a total transformation there. And I was just the Lord just planting a little seed. Listen, God's whole purpose in trying to warn these, and maybe he's warning some of you and saying, hey, listen, I love you, kid. Son, daughter, you're going the wrong way. I want to bring you back to me. I want to hold you close. I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I want to do something in you and through you, but I can't make you do it. I'm not going to force you. But he can call you. He can plead with you because he loves you with an everlasting love. The Bible says in Psalm 94:12, listen, he says, joyful are those you discipline, Lord, those you teach with your instructions. Now, it's not joyful. Can I just be honest here? I have been disciplined by the Lord, even rebuked once or twice. I have been disciplined by the Lord countless times. You're a pastor. Absolutely. But I love him, and the Lord disciplines those he loves. And so, I want to be a good son. And if that means I need a couple of spankings or go to my room or, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, Lord, whatever you want, I want to walk with you. I love you. And that joy, that joyfulness comes from being taught through those times. We tend to resent God when he's doing something like that in our life. He's just, why me, Lord? Whoa. But he's trying to teach us something because he loves us. Does that make sense? Listen, Revelation chapter 3 says this, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest, be sincere, and repent. That means turn around. So he's pleading with them. That's such a beautiful heart. That's our God. And he's pleading with them in verse 4. And you will know that I have sent you this admonition, this warning, so that my covenant, my agreement with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. Now, Levi sounds like it's a dude, right? Like he's just talking to one guy. Okay, it does sound like that, but that's not what it means. He's talking about the Levi, well, he is and he isn't. When he's using Levi, he's talking about the priests, the Levitical line. You guys are now priests, if you will, right? But he's talking about that. But just give you a little bit of information if you could hit those things. Chris, you're doing great. According to the Bible, for those of you who don't know, the tribe of Levi is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. You remember Joseph, right? And he had brothers, you know, the tribe of Benjamin. He had Manasseh, you know, Judah, all those, right? The 12 tribes of Israel, okay? The tribe of Levi descended from Levi, and he was the third son of Jacob and Leah. The tribe of Levi served the Lord and his people by doing the religious duties for the Israelites and had godly political and educational responsibilities as well. There was no church and state. It was bringing the Lord into everything, into education, into politics. So should we. But anyway, that's another story. There is no church and state. It's not in the Constitution. Anyway, I'll stop there. Oh, yeah. Okay, Lord, tell me not to go there. Okay. It says, the descendants of Aaron, who was also from the Levitical line, who were the first Kohen Gadol, that's Hebrew, that means high priest of Israel, were designated as the priestly class. So here's what it basically was. Levites were kind of considered warrior priests, okay? You know, when it describes you guys, it describes you to suit up in the armor of God, doesn't it? Do you remember that in Ephesians 6? Put on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, right? The sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, the gospel fitted with the gospel of peace, right? It talks to you like a warrior. You're to be a warrior priest. Okay, I'm a warrior for the Lord, but I'm not to be a brutal jerk. I'm to be a strong man or woman of God. And they were warrior priests. Back in Exodus 32, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. But back in Exodus 32, these Levites got their priestly duty. And what happened was, God, if you remember the story of Moses, he had just led them out of slavery and bondage and terrible stuff. He led them out of that into freedom, right? God did miracles after miracles. It was amazing what God did, right? And they all saw it, you know, plagues, part of the Red Sea, tremendous stuff, right? And God brought them to the mount, and Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, and he came back down. Well, anyway, while he was up there, after they've seen God do all this supernatural stuff, right, time and time again, right, as he's up there, God's like, I'm paraphrasing, okay, but you can read it for yourself. God's like, Mo, he said, Mo, you need to get down there. He says, the Lord said to Moses, said, go down, because your people whom you brought out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol in the shape of a calf. They bowed down to it, sacrificed it, and said, this is my God who brought me out of Egypt. They didn't take. And what happened was, Moses came down, and when he came down with Joshua, he heard all this noise, and they're thinking, is it the celebration of victory? Maybe there was a big battle? It was actually a celebration of defeat, because what they did was they made this, they took off all their gold. Aaron, Moses' brother's like, caved, he was a priest, bowed down to peer pressure. Okay, everybody else is going this way. I don't want to stand up for the Lord. Sure, you want to make another god for yourself? Hey, they said, hey, Mo has been gone a long time. We don't even know where he is. We're going to make a calf. We want to bow down to it and worship it. And Aaron, instead of saying, hey, that's ungodly, he's like, that's a great idea. Okay, give me your earrings and we'll just make a gold calf and don't be mad at me. And of course, when Moses got down there with the Ten Commandments, it actually says he took them, the finger written by the finger of God, and he smashed them. you rebellious house. And he said, how could you do this? Now listen, sometimes, can I just be honest? I think that of myself. I have seen so many miracles, miraculous things. I have heard the voice of God so many times that I don't, it's forgotten. There's literally thousands. Yet sometimes I can go the wrong way and choose stupidly. I don't know what, I got a thick skull. Even the disciples do too. So if you have a thick skull, you're in good company. But when it came right down to it, he said, listen, if you guys want to follow the Lord after all this, what he's done, come follow me. And he said, if you're not, if you want to rebel, those of who were in rebellion against him, he's like, okay, you stay over there. You can rebel against the Lord. And what happened is the Levites said, Mo, we're on your, Mo, that's what they call him, said, we're on your side. And they battled and they went, and about 3,000 of those rebellious people died that day. The Levites were the zealous ones. Said, no way, dude. You're not going to rebel against the Lord. And took them out. And that's how the Levitical line got started. They stood up for the Lord and they stood up for his commands. Now there's a high priest in the Levites. Okay, Jesus is our high priest. There are priests and Levites. They performed like the religious duties. Okay, they could be worshipers. They could they would serve the Lord in whatever way possible. They could be carrying the ark. They could be doing sacrifices, whatever. They were supposed to represent God to the people. In fact, check this out. Of all the tribes, they were all given chunks of land. All the 12 tribes of Israel, except for the Levites. Because he said, you know what he said? He actually said to the Levites, listen, you're not, you can have some cities, but you're not going to have any land because I'm your inheritance. I'm giving them the land, physical land, for their, but I'm giving, you're getting what's better. You're getting me as your inheritance. And so these Levites were to basically be speaking the word to other people, be sharing the word, to showing God who he was, right? In all the cities. They didn't have a home even, really. They were to do that. So are you. You're called to be a priest. You're called to speak the word to other people, to show him who God is. That was their whole job. And that's our job too. That's exactly what that means. In fact, Mark, I'm so glad you said that. As we go back to Malachi, boy, I should write down some of these segues. You do a great job with that. It says in verse 5, since you mentioned that, my covenant with Levi and the Levites was with him, a covenant of life and peace I gave to them. Can I tell you something? Your God has given you a covenant of life, a promise of life. He said, anyone who comes to me, I'll not turn away. Isn't that amazing? Listen, you, listen to this. He has given you the covenant of life. If you come to him, if you choose him, if you'll obey him, that's your choice. I can't make you. He says this, check this out. Listen, 1 John 5:12. The Bible says, he who has the Son has what?
Life.
And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And if you look at the previous verse, 1 John 5:11, he's talking about eternal life. Listen, if there's a puzzle piece in your heart, if you're listening online or if you're here and you can't quite figure it out, you know what I mean? Your life can't, I don't know what it is. There's something missing. I can't get it. You know, the puzzle piece, you know what it is? It's Jesus. He's the part that fills the heart. Hey, that was good, actually. He is the part that fills, he's the puzzle piece. He's what's missing in your life. That completes it. That gives life. now, starting now, and for eternity. In fact, oh gosh, don't even get me started. You know what? I'm going to do it. But in just a minute. So just like he gave the promises to those Levites, I'm giving you life. Don't reject me. Don't treat my promises and my word like it's something to be, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Yeah, you want to bring in blemished sacrifices? No big deal, whatever. The people weren't supposed to do it, and the priests were supposed to say, hey, that's not okay, that's not cool, you're not supposed to do that. But the priests, just like many pastors today, I don't want to tell anybody that they're doing wrong, because then they might leave, or they won't tithe anymore, or they'll be mad, or I can't tell people the truth that they're involved in sin. I should do it in a humble, loving way, but no, I don't want to risk that friendship. See, that's what the priests were doing. God doesn't want you to do that. Listen, he has come. Whoever has a son has life. That now and forevermore. Listen, we serve a giving God. The enemy wants us to be, the enemy is a taking. I don't want to call him a God, but you know what I'm trying to say. He's a taker. He's a selfish, self-centered. He wants to, the Bible says, the enemy, the thief, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Look at those blue eyes. I sent this out. I did this about a couple months ago. I sent this out, and folks are like, I don't like that picture. And I'm like, I don't like that picture either. That's the whole point. We're talking about Satan and his demonic forces. Good. I'm glad you don't like that picture. But the bottom line is, he's come to steal from you, to take your life, to make it purposeless. God wants to make your life purposeful, meaningful, now through eternity for the Lord. Does that make sense? Excuse me. Listen, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, Jesus says this. Jesus says, I have come that they may have, what's the word? The covenant of? And that they might have it abundantly. Now I feel like I was wondering if I was going to cut this or not, but I'm going to say it. And so this might get me in trouble with some folks. When I hear this preached, usually, it just bugs me. Okay, so when we think in a selfish, self-centered way, can I tell you what an abundant life means? Guys, if you could turn off your cell phones, I use this simply as an example for you. Okay, that might not be true, okay? In fact, it's not. Sorry about that. But he says this, that word abundantly, if we think selfishly or self-centered, what the enemy would want us to think, that means fancy, lavish homes. That means, you know, cool sports cars, fancy suits and rings, right? You know what I'm saying? It means go get all you can out the world. God's going to bless you with stuff. Am I right? Prosperity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Send your seed money and you'll get 10 times as best. And it's your best life now. Listen, your best life is not now. Your best life is with God in heaven forever. Listen, folks, I know this isn't popular, but that word abundantly, I just feel like I have to teach this. Remember, he's talking about them with the covenant of life, and he's given us as kingdom and priests a covenant of life. That word life in Greek is pterosos, and it means, you know, overflowing. It means beyond measure, all surpassing, more than imaginable, okay? And the idea, I have a couple verses here which I'll share with you. It means life with eternal purpose, eternal meaning, eternal joy. That's what it means, abundant. That means no matter what happens, you get hit with cancer on Christmas Eve, Oh, it's not fun, but you know what? I can still have joy and say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to love you and serve you till you take me home. Or, you get it? That doesn't make sense to people. See, but I can have joy in any situation. Or I can wallow and feel sorry for myself. But no, I'm going to choose joy to honor my Lord, my God. It doesn't mean stuff here like many churches teaches. In fact, Jesus said this. I just want you to know in Matthew 6:25. He says, I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear or what you got. Isn't life more important than food and your body more important than clothing and this material stuff? He's like, listen, don't make it about here. You know what the world wants to do? Make it all about who you are, social media, what you look like, what you got, what you have. Isn't that true? Jesus is like, kick that out the door. Jesus does not have it yet. Well, he had a Jewish accent. But listen, the same word, parousos, the same word, okay, is in Ephesians 3:20, one of Mark's parent verses. Says, now to him who is able to do, here's the word, abundantly or immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine according to his power that is work within us. But it makes it like thinking of eternity, like no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even imagined what God has prepared for those that love him. It's eternal life. Capiche? It says in verse 5, cruising right along here, that my covenant was with him, the Levites, the priests, a covenant of life, it says, but also with peace I gave them to him. Listen, and so is God's covenant with you as a Christian through Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible says this, if you're saved, if you've given your life over to Jesus Christ, if you received that free gift, that blood shed for you on the cross, right? It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith because of Jesus Christ, we have been given what because of the covenant? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been given that same covenant of peace. Peace with God, because the Bible says before this, you were strangers, you were aliens in your mind because of your actions, your sinful attitudes. But because of Jesus, we can have peace with God. Not only that, because of Jesus, we can have peace from God. So not only do we have peace with God where he sees me as his kid, I'm loved by him, I'm safe in him, but we also get peace from God. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God that surpasses all understandings will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So not only does you get peace with God, you get peace from God. You have that same covenant, all because of Jesus. It goes on to say in verse 5, It says, my covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. And it says, here was the action that they're supposed to have, right? That was the promise. It says, this called for reverence. And it says, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. He revered him. Can I ask you a question? He's given you the same covenant of life eternally. And peace with him and from him. Do you revere him? This was the action. Do you do that? Sometimes. God's saying this was his response. What's your response going to be? The Bible says this. In Deuteronomy 13:4, it's the same word. It says, it is the Lord your God you should follow. Wait. Must. What does it say?
Must.
That's the response. It's the Lord your God you must follow. And it says, and in him you should revere, and in him you must revere. Listen, God's saying, it is the Lord your God you must follow, and in him you must revere. If you're going to be called the kingdom and priest, your response is, I need to revere the Lord. That means stand in awe of him. That means glorify his name. That means I'm going to seek to do that in my friendships, in my work, in my, with my spouse, with my kids. Point to him, glorify him, thank him, bless him, do my things, my finances for him. It's all for him. I revere him. I hold him in awe and reverence and respect. And it says, keeping his commandments and obeying him, serving him and holding fast to him. Let me tell you, stuff that's coming down the pipe in America that I have never seen. And I'm not one to manipulate emotions or things that are going on, but we've got a lot of religious freedoms at this exact moment in time. However, I've got a sneaking suspicion that before too long, however long that is, that ain't going to be the case. So you better learn now to hold fast, to set in cement, to set your hearts on him now, immovable, unshakable. Because right now, the Bible says, let nothing move you. Does something move you or does nothing move you? See, something's moving her right now. But the point is, God says, let nothing move you. In other words, listen, I'm going to stand for Jesus regardless. If this building gets shut down, my kids follow Jesus or not, my wife, my coworkers, my dad, my mom, whatever, I'm going to hold fast to him and his commands. I am a kingdom, his rule and reign in my heart. I'm a priest of the living God, and I'm going to hold fast regardless of what comes my way. You need to make that decision for yourself right now. I can't make it for you, right? Now, I'm hoping that we still continue to have religious freedom for a long time in this country. I pray that continues, and I would love it, because that's more time to glorify the Lord. But whether it's dark or light, all I know is, whoever gets elected, whoever goes, whatever direction it takes, I'm okay because I serve the king. I'm a king, his kingdom and priest. Does that make sense? I serve him. I revere him. So whether a donkey gets elected or an elephant, I'm going to be of the Lamb Party. And I'm going to vote for whatever party is going to be best for Christians and God's morals. It says, my covenant was with him, a covenant of life and of peace, just like it is with you. And I gave them to him. And this called for, here's the response, for reverence. And he revered me, and so should you. And he stood firm in awe of my name. Verse 6 says, true instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. Listen, true instruction was in his mouth. Here's one thing that you and I have to realize. Everything else you learn, everything else you watch, it's all going to burn. But when it comes to God's word, let me tell you, that's safe and secure. Isaiah 55, 10 through 11, and I love this picture. It says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And I love that just like the rain comes down from heaven, every time you speak the word, every time you integrate that in a conversation, it doesn't have to be forced. You don't have to force it. So I had some, in a negative way, I had somebody yell at me, you always talk about the Lord on text. You always talk about the Lord. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I do. I said, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to offend you. I said, but it's just a part of who I am. You know, it because he is who I am. Right? Yep. So whenever you speak God's word, if you can get it and put it in your heart, whether you listen to it, I've got somebody this week was telling me that they're going to start listening to it on their way there to and from work. Just filling their minds with the word of God, going through a book of the Bible. We'll provide you with that if you want it, on audio, however you want it. Renew their mind so it's on their tongue. So it gets to the place where you don't have to, it just comes out. I talked to another person I spoke to who works for the government, said, listening to the teaching, and they were said they were just talking at work, and it might not always be appreciated, but somebody said, I'm sick of you preaching at me. And the person said, I'm so sorry, I didn't even realize I was preaching. Just talking. Doesn't mean it'll always be received well, but the Bible says it won't return void. Whenever you speak of the Lord, you speak his word, God promises, just like water coming down, it's watering the grass, and the grass is going to grow. Whenever you speak it, something's happening. Now, it might be that their heart's getting more hard, so that it can break later on, Lord willing. Or maybe God's softening their hearts and causing something to grow. Maybe seeds are being planted right now that will grow in the future. But you don't give up. You continue. Does that make sense? Put it in your heart, your head, your mind. Gary, how long have I been teaching? 47 minutes. All right, then we're going to zip through this last few bits. All right, even faith, you guys know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So all you have to do is, God promises, it won't return void. All you have to do is speak it. So you know what the enemy wants you to do?
Shut up.
Shut up. Stop, just don't talk about it. Talk about anything else but God and his word, because that won't return void, right? I don't want to hear it. Now you say it anyway, lovingly, kindly, respectfully. Don't be a self-righteous jerk, right? Be a humble person. It says in Romans 10:8, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. But you have to allow God to put it there. You're not going to get it just by coming and all of a sudden it morphing there. You have to put in some work. You have to dig for it. You have to spend some time in devotionals or listening to teachings or seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened, right? There's an action. I can't make you do it, but God's calling you to do it. It should be so valuable. He says, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, Job says. That's how much that's how I feel about the word of God. I honestly, I would rather have it than even food because it sustains me. One time Jesus even said that. He's like, I've got food. He didn't say it like this. This is how I'm saying it. He told his disciples, I've got food you don't even know anything about. Listen, it's like a compass. The Lord said, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for a little bit. Nothing. John 6:63 says, the words I have spoken to you, they're full of the spirit and they're full of what? The covenant of?
Life.
And he says, I don't want you to be liars. It says it right in here, even it says true instruction was on his mouth and nothing was false was found on his lips. Basically, this is what it means. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips. He hates it, but he delights in those who tell the truth. You should be known for a person who speaks the truth. If you compromise the truth because you don't want to get in trouble or you want the hassle to stop or whatever it might be, you're selling out. You're being like those priests. You can hold firm to the truth and do it in a loving way. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4:15-16. Instead of being, moved around by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemes, instead, as different, I want you to be different, you kingdom and priests. I want you to be speaking the truth in love. And we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So as you speak the truth in love, you're going to build up, you're going to grow. And it says this in the last little bit in verse 6. Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. Okay. It says, and he walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from sin. Listen, if you speak the truth, people are going to like it sometimes and they're going to hate it. But the Bible says this in Daniel 12:3, and those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the skies above. And those who turn many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and ever in the sky. You're going to shine, baby. You're going to shine in God's kingdom. Remember that song, Shine? Make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking for it. Nobody remembers that song. Okay. Thank you. And I'm going to just say this last bit, so we're going to talk about a heavy thing, marriage, next time. In these last verses, it says, for the lips of the priests ought to preserve knowledge, in other words, God's knowledge. And from his mouth, men should seek instructions, because he is a messenger of the Lord Almighty. If you will do that, if you will put God's word in you, people will ask you for advice. I've got people that even though they go the wrong direction completely, when they need it, they come back to me and they ask. They seek advice. Same way with you. The Bible says this, get the truth and never sell it. Also, you'll also get wisdom and discipline and good judgment. Proverbs 23:23. I call that my Michael Jordan verse. Proverbs 23:23. Anyway. Buy the truth, another translation says, and don't sell it. When you get that in you, don't compromise on it. When you get it, just keep it. Never let it go. And then those last verses, it says, but you have turned from the way. Huh. What does that remind you of? Who's the way? Jesus. Yep. But you have turned from the way. Interesting. And by your teachings have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all people because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law or matters of my word. Listen, can I tell you what's happening now? There used to be a time when pastors were really respected in general. They're really not much anymore. If you read the news, if we got a prominent pastor peeing on somebody's leg in the middle of an airline flight. We've got priests having relations with prostitutes on the altar in a church. They had to actually crush the altar and burn. Crazy stuff. It used to be a time when if you were a Christian, you stood for something. But it's kind of happening because people are showing partiality, not following his ways. They're being despised and humiliated. I don't want that. And it says that they have caused, because of their teaching and what they've said and done, they've caused many to stumble. And there's so much bad teaching out there. There's so many folks saying stuff that they don't even know what they're talking about. And the Bible says this. They think, oh, what's the big deal? Listen, the Bible says this in these last few slides here. Matthew 18:7 says, woe to the world because of things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. Listen, people are going to stumble, but it shouldn't be because you're living a compromised life all the time. Or you're living a pompous, self-righteous life all the time. Do you see what I'm saying? Listen, it says this, and I don't know if you've ever seen this, a millstone. You guys know what a millstone is? When we were in Israel, this is what a millstone looks like. Usually it's darker basalt, and it used to crush the grain. It weighs literally tons. You can see it. Imagine how much that weighs, right? Okay? You can see. And that donkey would go and crush the grain in there and smash it to bits or olives or whatever, and the oil would come out. Anyway. This is in Nazareth, Israel. But Jesus said this, and if you could hit the lights, this is important. Jesus said, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me to what? Stumble. it would be better for them to have a large millstone, like we just saw, hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. What? So us causing people to stumble is something we need to repent of. Now, God's not saying bad, bad, bad Christian. Well, he is. But he's saying you need to turn around. You need to repent because I love you and I don't want you to be that kind of a witness. If anyone causes some of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble. Now, people are going to think what they want to think. But because you're living a compromised life continually is what it means. It would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck. I don't know. That seems pretty bad to me. I'm just saying. To have that hung around my neck and be drowned into an ocean, that's like at the top of my list of bad things. Okay? Right? Jesus is saying it would be better for you, for them to have that happen than to cause people to stumble. You hear what he's saying, right? So that's the... So maybe, if we're causing others to stumble, sometimes, you know, it's because they're projecting a lifestyle on us that we shouldn't have, or they're trying to find the kink in the armor, you know, where it is. Sometimes there's that. You'll get that. But if it's because you're genuinely living a compromised life, you are causing other people to stumble, whether they realize it or not. You need to ask forgiveness immediately from the Lord. You need to ask him to forgive you, and you need to ask him, whatever it takes, Lord God, to change my heart, my words, and my ways. I don't want to cause anyone to stumble anymore. And if you need to ask forgiveness of your son, of your daughter, of your husband, of your wife, of your boss, of your coworkers, of your friends, I've been acting this way, saying these things, it hasn't been right. Will you please forgive me? Then just do it. Do it and be right with him, because he's given you a covenant of life and a peace. Does that make sense, everybody? It will be better. Yes.
I've got to tell you that verse 6 is the most encouraging verse I have heard in a long time, especially in these chaotic times.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask you to speak loud because just so they pick it up. But yes, go ahead.
Every instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity.
Yes.
This teaching will cause people to repent
and turn back.
And turn back to him.
Lord willing.
Return and repent.
Yes.
Is what we need to do.
Yes.
And when you got to verse 5, I said, oh Lord, let him get to verse 6. Because man, that's the key. If we do this.
Yes.
And we walk in this.
Yes.
And people see this.
Yes.
It will cause them.
Yes.
To repent and return to Jesus.
It will
and
cause
that's
them.
What we need.
And it will turn many back to him. So you can either be the stumbling stone for people, or your life can turn many to him. I don't know about you, but I want to turn many to him. That's my only heart. That's the reason why I live. That's the reason why you live. Now, what will you do with that? Let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you for your word that does not return void. So, Lord, right now, whether you are inspiring people here and at home, convicting people, Lord God, causing people to repent, causing them to turn away from sin and to you, Jesus, to that covenant of life and peace, whatever it is, or you're encouraging them this day, whatever it is, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would set their heart in stone for good, godly things, and that they would embrace that covenant of life, Jesus, that you've given to them, Lord. If there's anyone here who does not know you, Lord, and they're missing that puzzle piece, I pray today would be the day of salvation, and they would not harden their hearts to you. They would say, Lord, I want you into my heart, into my life, Lord. I want that covenant of life. I want to be a kingdom of priests. I want to be your kid. I want to serve you. I'm sick of causing other people to stumble by my words, my thinking, my actions. I don't want that, Lord. I want you, Jesus. I want to have that abundant, fulfilling, purposeful, meaningful life, Lord, that brings glory and honor to my God, to the God and Father, the creator of the universe, Lord God, who loves me and cares for me. Thank you for speaking the truth to us today, Lord God. Let us hear with listening ears, Lord, to what your Spirit has to say, and let us respond in a way that glorifies you, Lord, as we leave today, even right now, Lord God. We ask this, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day in Jesus' name. There's going to be some cake and some food in the back that St. Victor is setting up. You are welcome to take as much as you want in Jesus' name.